I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Like, I don't want to paint this picture of, like, all gay men are anti-relationship and, like,
oh, sure,
want the end of, you know, monogamy and are going to destroy the sanctity of marriage.
I've already ruined that.
Yeah.
Thank that was like the first thing I did when they let us get married. I'm like, I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna ruin it.
Yeah. It's over for you, straights.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about. Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast proving that love is love as long as it's between queers, or who cares? I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali.
And today we are dyking out with Amy Ordman and Jack Dodge, the hosts of Dating Straight, about, well, love.
You love to hear it. Some quick announcements. Tickets are on sale now for our You Halloween show. That is Monday, October 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can get those tickets before they sell out, and they will sell out.
Yeah, they are going.
They're going. We have tickets for viewing it live. And just like last time with our last show, if you can't make it, we do have a ticket option to view it later. For anyone viewing live, we'll have a costume contest at the end of the show. So anyone wearing a costume will be able to join the Zoom screen. We will have a poll, and the winner will get a Dyking Out U-Hauler pack mailed to them within the country. If you're international or prefer it, you can be our guest on a Patreon off-topic episode, and we'll dyke out about anything you want.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a cool prize. I think people might want that. Over the pins, unless they're a tender queer and they're a little bit shy and they don't want to
dyke out with us. But that's really cool. And I also want to say, for anybody who was at the Stonewall show last October, this will be a lot more democratic in terms of a costume contest. I'm not just going to automatically give first place to the person who dressed up as me. there will be no nepotism this time around. It will be a more scientific poll that will be conducted by our tech guru, Lauren, and everything will be fair and square. So if you want to dyke out with us, or you really want some free dyking out merch, get that costume together. You got a week to do it. That goes for you too, Melody. Get your costume together. It takes a while.
I procrastinate every year. This year, I have fellow Capricorn, Carolyn, to keep me in check and on track.
And the show will once again be sponsored by our good friends at Maker's Mark, helping us safely enjoy cocktails from home. You can find a link to the tickets on our Instagram or at dykingout.com/events or on our Facebook page. There's links everywhere. On the show, we're going to have performances by past guests, Becca Blackwell, Kara Connors, Ashley Ray, Tian Tran, and we are probably going to have a little surprise in the mix if scheduling goes okay from another past guest of ours. So stay tuned for that. But these are all recent guests who are listener favorites. And really, the best thing about 2020 was the chance to dyke out with these fine, fine queers. So yes. I'm so excited to bring them together for this show.
Yeah, listener and host favorites. I'm so excited.
What else, Melody?
Well, Carolyn, if listeners are looking for a way to add more queer community to their lives, they can go to patreon.com/dykingout and you'll be able to interact and get to know us more, our guests more, and other U-haulers. It is quite the community.
It is. Sounds like a deal. I just posted a bunch of my past Halloween photos on our Patron Facebook group. That's for people who are at the $10 a month level, and we have a lot of fun there. So join the party. And lastly, keep those 5-star Apple Podcast reviews coming. We love how funny some of you are. They really brighten our day and boost our rankings. So thank you again for that. It does mean a lot. Sorry to be annoying about it, but you know, this is our job.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a week, Melody. You just got back from the woods.
Yes, I did. I have been off the grid for, 4 days?
Are you a whole new dyke?
Yes, I went upstate to a cabin on a lake in the middle of nowhere. It's on Lake Desolation, and it truly is desolate up there. It's kind of close to Saratoga Springs. It was truly off the grid.
It sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah. And it was. And by that, I mean there were Trump signs everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know, this was my first venture out of the city since COVID hit. And I don't know, maybe also my first venture out of a city during an election season. Like, are we seeing more signs than normal during this election than we ever have before? Like, I don't remember driving around and seeing just Bush flags waving in the wind.
The flags are out of control.
Yeah. So we're on a lake and there's like a lot of boats had the Trump flags, a lot of houses. Why is it that the further north you go, the more south it feels? And by that, I mean, I saw literal, not just Trump flags, but Confederate flags in upstate New York. Why? There was one house by us that had just this tattered American flag next to a Confederate flag next to a Trump Pence flag.
Some people love an underdog.
Also, it's just dumb to see an American and Confederate flag right next to each other.
Right.
What I did love about this house is right next door, their neighbors had a huge rainbow flag. And then across the street from them was a huge lawn sign that said any functioning adult 2020. So at least there was variety. late Wednesday night, it was too dark for us to like find a store to get food. So we're like, it's okay, we'll go to a diner in the morning. We'll find some place in some town. And we're driving for miles trying to find some place to eat. We finally find a diner. It is basically, the theme of it is men in uniform, essentially. It's like a diner slash shrine to veterans, but also like, especially probably lately, there's a lot of cop stuff, like okay. a lot of like Blue Lives Matter flags. Sure. And it was just also some of the best food I've ever had. but also, have you ever been terrified while enjoying your food so much? It was such a jarring experience.
Yeah, but that was at a restaurant that had bullet holes in the front door.
Oh.
So
oh,
back
that's,
in Atlanta.
I was going to say, actually, Southside Chicago, you got to get chicken from the places with the bullet holes in.
Yes.
I don't know. That is actually a thing.
Best burger I've ever had.
It was scary. We were the youngest ones. It was just a lot of white-haired patrons glued to the Fox News playing in this diner. I've never seen anything like it.
And in walks Melody Kamali.
Just the brownest thing they've ever seen, hiding behind my much shorter white girlfriend.
And they're like, here it is. It's Sharia law. Coming to get us. This is what we've been preparing for.
I know. I will say we, on our last day, ventured out and found we followed the Biden-Harris signs until we found a village that seemed very liberal. It's called Ballston Great. Spa, New York.
Nice.
And it, truly, like, we were just driving around and we were like, whoa, we're seeing a lot less Trump signs and a lot more Biden. And we seriously, it led us to this very adorable village where there was just so many antique shops, cafes, tea houses, vintage stores. We went, you know, crate digging, found a bunch of records. And I will say, I thought of you because when we got to the M section of the record store and I found all the Madonna vinyl, I think I realized I am a Madonna fan. Like, I was like, oh, I love this song. Oh, I love this song. Oh, I know this. Like, I know all her albums. And I guess I am a fan. And I maybe in comparison to you felt like I wasn't.
Sure.
But that was a little epiphany I had yesterday in the record store.
Well, I'm glad that you finally realize all the things that Madonna has done to contribute to your life and shape you. And now you're going to be a super fan forever. And that's all we'll ever talk about. Great.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Well, while you were doing that, I watched two episodes of a new show on Hulu because I read that there was gay stuff in it. And the first one I will mention, it was episode 7 of Hulu's Monsterland, and it was directed by none other than past Ooh. Guest Desiree Akhavan.
Yes.
And as I'm watching, it also starred another past guest, Alice Kremelberg, who
Oh, really?
That was before your time, but Alice was in Orange is the New Black, and her episode of Dyking Out was about the creative journey. So it was cool to see her in that. She's a great actress. It was a good role for her. That storyline was like a little bit queer, not super explicitly, but there were definitely like queer overtones to it, I would say, about that being kind of like obsessed with a friend type storyline. It's weird. It's a weird show. The other episode that was a lot more queer was episode 5. And that one has Taylor Schilling and Roberta Calandrez playing wives. And they make out and they are being such cute wives in the beginning. And then everything goes to hell. And it's very bad and like a lot of trigger warnings. So I would not watch that if you have any issues with like mental illness or suicide that Uh-oh. Might be triggering. So because I know it's tempting. I know you hear like Taylor Schilling, Roberta Calandrez. If you don't know, I mean, Taylor Schilling is Piper on Orange is the New Black. Roberta Calandrez was, she played Joan in Fun Home. And then she's been in shows like Vita, I Love Dick, some others. But I'm such a big fan of hers. And it was like cool to see them. And then everything goes really
in a south. Show called Monsterland?
Yeah, in a show you called Monsterland.
I can't wait to watch. Can I just say, speaking of past guests, did you see that Rita Brent got married?
Yes, I did see that. I saw that this morning. She was supposed to have her wedding, I think, yesterday, and that was the original date, but because of COVID, it got postponed. And I kind of knew it was coming up because she actually asked me if I knew any queer people who could marry them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who is like an ordained minister. And I was looking around trying to help them out. But then because they didn't want to wait in these crazy times, they just got married.
Crazy gay in these crazy times. Why would you wait? That's not gay culture.
Yeah.
The pictures, I'm looking at them right now. So cute. And I love this. They have, if you go to thenot.com/Frida and Rita, you can buy something from their registry and then you get sent the footage from their wedding, which is some more gay content for you to watch if you want.
I love it. I love it. I love them. I'm so happy for them. They're such a great couple and they have such a great dynamic and there's just so much love there between them. And
they're so cute.
Oh, speaking of love, we should get to our topic soon. So before we do, real quick, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Well, I really did have just such a gay week upstate. Inherently gay. Allie and I, you know, had sex in a cabin. Oh, we're not allowed to say sex. Sorry. No, that's not the gayest thing. But I do want to say that before I get to my gayest thing, since we're not allowed to say sex, can I at least say that Allie tried to initiate sex with me by saying, "Want to see my butt?" Which was the funniest. Maybe because we're still very giggly, but out of nowhere she just turns to me with like a come hither look, but then opens her mouth and out comes, "Want to see my butt?" So funny.
Classic Al.
But this tavern, it's called Tinney's Tavern, and it's the only restaurant 4 miles. They only do, I think, lunch and dinner, or maybe just dinner. So we would go there for dinner every night, and we're very lucky that it was just like a few steps from the cabin. Otherwise, if it wasn't there, we'd have to drive miles to find some place to eat. So we would walk over every night. And we noticed the first night we were there that there was definitely a dyke server. Like, just
yes,
the biggest dyke we had seen for miles and miles. Very refreshing. Felt immediately comfortable, right? Up until that point, the only source of comfort I had up there was Allie's North Carolina plates on her van. I thought, well, I feel like this protects us up here. But no, we go to Tinney's Tavern and we see this just classic kind of butch dyke server. And we're like, ooh, I hope we get her. We didn't. And so we went and we were like, can we make a reservation for tomorrow night? And so then Saturday night we go and we made sure to wear our gayest outfits. I can show you pictures. I'll post pictures in the Patreon Facebook group.
Great.
Like, really dyked it up clothing wise. And we went again hoping to get her as a server. Again, she was not. So we were just doing our best to signal to her the whole time. Like, Allie had her hand on my knee while we ate. Every time she'd pass by, we'd get a little closer. It really got to the point where we're wrapping up our meal. She's walking by to another table and Allie just broke out into, "I know you. I know you." Speaking of Fun Home.
You know, when you said classic Butch Dyke, I was just thinking Ring of Keys.
And she had one. like, she had a buzz cut. She had her, like, saggy jeans. So it became a thing where we saw her a lot. We had to walk by Tinney's a lot, even when we weren't going to eat there. It was, like, right by the cabin. So that song is still stuck in my head. We really belted it every time we were in or around Tinney's Tavern. And I was cursing that I didn't have my taking out business cards, and that made me realize I really should bring them anywhere I go, because I may be surrounded by Trump or Confederate flags, but there will always be a dyke somewhere that I should give the card to.
Yes, I love to think that this dyke was going home to her wife every night and being like, yeah, these two straight girls have been harassing me every time they come in. They're just, they're singing Fun Home, and they're, you know, pretending to be gay just to, to make me feel weird or.
Yeah. Well, that's better than her going home to a husband and we're way off, and her being like, do you know a song that's like, I know you? Is that like a new, what is that?
I know. I was also thinking, like, she could just be a QAnon supporter.
Yeah.
Is it a dyke or is it a QAnon supporter?
Fun 2020 believer. Game.
Yeah. Not supporter. Believer. 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 It is a
free thinker. Sure, sure,
religion.
Sure.
Religion. Oh my gosh.
Carolyn.
Yeah.
Think you can top that? What was the gayest thing you did this last week?
The gayest thing that I did last week, it's not so much that I did it, it happened to me. And it was that I was reviewing paperwork for our new, hopefully, house, if everything goes well. You know, we're under contract. And I got a record from our lawyer of all of the past permits for any building that was done on the property. And there was a permit for a small extension that was put on the home. And I looked at the names on the permit, and our house used to be owned by lesbians.
Yes. No yes, wonder. A 2020 miracle.
I know. No wonder Cecilia and I had, we had this like great feeling about this place, but we're like, are we crazy? Because it definitely, it's not cute. I mean, it's a good location, but it needs a lot of work done to it, but we immediately felt so drawn to it. And we're like, maybe this is why we could like sense the dyke energy in this house. And I told Cecilia, and she got so excited, and she just kind of like took her hands and like ran them over her body and goes, I just got a sapphic rush. She was
merch,
so pleased to know this.
Merch alert, sapphic rush.
Sapphic rush. Love it. And, you know, of course, I had to do some research to verify. I mean, I was pretty sure, right? Because this permit was in the 80s and it was two women with different last names, but their first names were Anita and Dolores. If that's not a couple dykes. Of dykes living upstate, I don't know what is. So I did a little bit of research. I believe they are both now deceased, one quite recently, but I found Anita's obituary, and there is no husband, no children.
Of course.
You know, she's got nieces and nephews.
Yeah, she does.
And then I found her picture on Facebook, which she hasn't updated in a while because she's dead. Mm-hmm. And she appears to have a dykey mullet. You know, and I couldn't be more thrilled, honestly. I hope, even though they later moved to Florida, yes, I have enough information to do a separate podcast from this about the lives.
Oh, yeah. What you I should hope. Do a spinoff podcast.
Yeah.
Tracking them down. And
I'm going to call their families, and they're going to be like, what? No, she wasn't gay. She just had her friend Dolores. It's a true Boston marriage. I hope that their ghosts come back to this property and decide to haunt it. There's nothing I would love more than to be haunted by some lesbian ghosts.
Yeah.
Tis the season.
What would a lesbian ghost do? What would a lesbian haunting look like?
They would drain the batteries of our vibrators. Be like, this is so mysterious. It couldn't be that somebody's secretly using these all the time. It must be the ghost. That's why it's never charged. I don't know. Yeah. So just couldn't be more pleased about that. And, you know, speaking of two old secret dykes maybe in the 80s who had to hide their love, let's get into our conversation about love.
Love it.
So just to remind everyone, today we are diking out about love with Amy Ordman and Jack Dodge, the hosts of the Dating Straight podcast. You might know them from the podcast or from their respective YouTube channels where they give viewers a regular glimpse into their super gay lives. What do you say, Melody?
Let's go.
Amy and Jack, we are so excited to have you here today to dike out with us about love.
Wow. That's like what we do every day. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that we actually haven't had love as an episode. It seems like such...
What do you mean?
Big part. Like every episode, we have a different topic and nobody's picked love before. Like we talk about it and stuff, but we've never...
It comes up.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. That's like all we talk about on our podcast. So it's like, can't even believe it.
Well, before we get into the topic and a little bit more about you two, there's something that we want to ask you both. Melody?
We need to ask you a question. And that would be, what is the gayest thing you did this week?
It's so tough because I live alone and don't talk to people. So I can't even like, what is, oh, I don't know. I wished my cat a happy Black Cat Awareness Month. Does that?
I know. Yes, I did see a cat in the background. Gay. I was going to say, you have to have something.
Well, that's pretty gay.
Black Cat Awareness Month. I didn't know. I think maybe you informing me about that could be the gayest thing you've done this week. Just teaching another dyke about cats. I don't have cats, so I need important. All the education I can get.
For me, I guess, I mean, this doesn't even like have to do with gayness necessarily, but my lesbian roommate tested positive for coronavirus.
Okay. Oh, no. Okay, so I saw that you recently moved to New York, and I'm like, why? Doesn't he know the second wave is coming? And if you weren't here for the first one, let me tell you, it was horrifying.
Yeah, I think we're unfortunately... on the way. The thing is we were like very careful about everything and, you know,
not careful
here
enough.
We are. So yeah, I guess I would just say a PSA, gays are not immune. I feel like there's this like theory that gays are immune to this virus. Nuh-uh-uh.
No, I proved that wrong with week one of coronavirus.
Yeah, you got that right away.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. In New York, I would say it's like the one place that no matter how careful you are about it, it doesn't matter.
It finds you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It found us.
Yeah. It's like everything in New York. It's like no matter how hard you try to make sure you never have mice in your apartment, like you could have the cleanest apartment.
We have one.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, you're a New Yorker now. Wow. High risk of COVID, mouse in the apartment. What else? How many unwanted peens have you seen in the street? Have you seen poop on the subway? You came after they've officially banned pooping on the subway. So this is good timing on your part. That was really, I don't know why they didn't think about that before. I think that's why it was happening. People were like, there's no official ban on pooping. So I'm just going to keep pooping on the subway. But now the ban is official and I'm pretty sure it's going to work 100%.
If it's convenient, it's convenient, you know?
Yeah, like... when you got to go. Amy's like, I'm staying in LA forever.
Sucks to be you guys.
So tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves. You have a podcast called Dating Straight. How did you meet and decide to do this podcast?
We're actually approaching next month our 7 month, or no, no, no,
seven,
7 year anniversary of friendship.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is quite exciting. We did not like each other at the beginning.
I liked him.
He didn't like me. That is not true.
I just spent.
You thought. You did not like look at me being like, wow, this friend of mine, you know?
You don't know how I looked at you. I was just. I just hung out more with his sister for like the first 3 days of our friendship, and then the rest of the 6 years and 362 days we've been hanging out. So like, I think the first 3 days were maybe confusing for Jack.
Well, here's, I think you're mistaken because you're forgetting about Thanksgiving. You didn't meet my sister for Thanksgiving. So firstly, we met and we did the tin can challenge on YouTube, as like everyone does when you're 16
and 19.
Have no video ideas. And then we did that, and that was a bad experience. Mm. So then I think that just, like, in our minds, like, we were like, all right, nip that in the bud. And then the next time we met, I spilled vodka all over, illegally. I was, you know, underage. Spilled vodka all over her entire suitcase of everything she brought to America.
Oh, my gosh.
So that got me off on a bad footing. But I crawled my way back, you know?
I don't think it was that big of a deal. It was, yeah, and we've been friends ever since. Actually, last night we were talking about, and I want to know, because you guys are also friends and podcast hosts together. I was talking to Jack last night, and I was like, do you like me still? Like, are we still friends? Because having a podcast together has, like, taken our relationship to such a business place.
Right.
So, right, yeah.
I also just realized we, like, didn't tell the origin story of Dating Straight at all.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually inspired by Amy's cousin. So, actually.
Oh, my God. We've got your sister. We've got your cousin.
Yeah.
We've got the whole family. Basically, Amy and I were going to Palm Springs for a friend's birthday, and her cousin was supposed to come. And then she had just gotten broken up with.
Yeah.
And was crying in the backseat of my car while I was driving. And then, like, was having a breakdown. And then was like, pull over. And we were on the highway. She was like, pull over right now.
Like, no, go.
Like, I need to get off and, like, go to Mexico and get back with my man, pretty much. And I
dramatic.
Was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Amy was like, don't pull over.
Well, we were on, like, the fucking 110 speeding down to Palm Springs. It's like, no, girl, we're not going to do that.
And then she accused me of kidnapping, and then that's when I was like, okay, this is serious, like, what do I do?
Okay.
Because I'm being accused of kidnapping.
She's very dramatic.
And Amy was telling me not to pull over.
Well, I also, like, called her mom, and I was like, while she was in the backseat, I was like, Amber's struggling back there, like, what do we do? And she's like, no, just take her with you. So I was like, okay, we're not kidnapping.
Yeah.
Right?
All
right.
So you kidnapped a straight person, and then this would make a great true crime podcast.
And then we put on, Jack has, like, the sickest breakup playlist. So we, like, put that on. We were singing Survivor by Destiny's Child. Mm. She, like, calms down in the backseat over there. And then we
congratulations.
Were like,
you know, calming down a straight person in distress is very hard.
Thank you. Yeah. We also did a group meditation while driving. When we arrived, she was like, okay, we have to pull over soon, not for her to leave, but so she could throw up in and out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the fun really started, after the throw up.
Yeah.
Like, that's when she was like really feeling good. So that was fun.
And then we were basically just saying like, you don't need him, dump him, sis. And then we looked at each other. We were like, this would be an amazing podcast. And then we wanted to make the podcast called Dump Him, Sis, but then we realized, like, we can't tell everyone to dump their partners on the podcast weekly. And then, yeah, that's how we...
And then it was going to be dating straight fucking gay.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah. But they said no.
And then, yeah, the said, network that's was not like, marketable.
Not with dating straight.
Love it. So on your podcast, you voluntarily talk to straight people. Why?
Why do you do that?
Well, it's definitely changed over time. Like the initial idea was we talk to straight people and like figure out that we're all the same. But then it was so much more exciting for us when we had gay people on, and also like our gay listeners also just much preferred gay people.
Yeah.
And so now the concept of our show is like, we'll always give it to you straight, so that we didn't change the name as the concept changed, you know.
Got it. Love it.
Had to adjust.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about love.
Okay.
Yes. Have we all been in it?
Yeah. Is it a thing?
Is it a thing? Wow, loaded questions. Okay, well, first I'm going to take my anxiety medication really quick. So, Amy, you start.
Is it our energy? Yeah. Is it the Dyke energy that's making you anxious? You're outnumbered?
No, actually, I'm surprisingly comfortable around lesbians. Mm. I don't know if all of you identify as lesbians, but...
No, not me.
I used to be called... On YouTube, I was, like, one of the lesbians. I was just, like, in that circle through Amy, so...
I mean, you're wearing plaid right now for all our listeners, so...
Yeah, totally.
You're next to a plant. Yeah. You're actually the biggest dyke in here right now.
Yeah. I won.
There was, like, a phase where Jack literally only hung out with lesbians for, like, 6 months. And then he had a breakdown and was like, I don't want to hang out with lesbians
anymore.
Maybe like
2 years.
Well, no, I'm talking about like during your gap year, like that summer. Well, I guess, 2 years.
Gap year. Everyone should have a lesbian gap year.
Yeah.
I want Jack to take another gap year. One wasn't enough.
No. So love, does it exist?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Does love exist?
Of course it exists.
Does it?
Yeah.
You think?
Totally. What do you mean? I just don't think. I just don't think that there's like, sorry, no offense, I know you're married, but I don't think that there's like a long term. I feel like being with the same person for 50 years seems impossible to at least me. I feel like I'm going to change so much.
Yeah, is it that it seems impossible or just undesirable?
I guess undesirable. You're so right. Like, I don't see myself wanting to do that, like, on purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, after my divorce, when my wife and I, the night that we first got together, she was also getting divorced, and we were both like, I don't think that marriage is something that people should do. And and I was like, I think I only want to be in relationships for like max 5 years and then move on to the next one. And
totally.
It doesn't make sense to be with one person forever or to get married. And then like from that night, neither of us dated anyone else and then got married.
As lesbians do.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's only so much control you have.
What changed for you? What going from the mindset of I don't want to be with anyone for longer than 5 years? How long have you been with your wife?
4 years, a little over 4 years.
Okay, so it's coming up.
We're approaching
mark.
a critical juncture. What changed was, honestly, we just connected in a way that we'd never connected with anybody, and it just felt different than all of our previous experiences with love, and it made us want to like plan our lives together, and we both want the same things in life, and it just seemed to make so much sense that we're like, yeah, I am like totally excited about spending 50 years with her. I've been in relationships where that thought was not so exciting, you know, but then those were not the right relationships. And then this time I'm like, oh no, I definitely am so excited every day to think that this is it for me.
Well, cute for you. I don't think it works for me. Jack, what do you think?
Oh, man. Well, I feel like gay boys and lesbians are complete opposites on the spectrum in terms of, like, the U-hauling situation.
Sure.
Like y'all U-haul and we, I don't know, like, I would sooner, or I feel like a boy would sooner, like, fake his death before, like, actually getting in a relationship, you know, like, as an excuse to not be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just wildly different. And, I mean, I think because, like, Amy, for instance, like, because she's in that lesbian world of love, like, and U-hauling, is, like, rejecting that. And I'm rejecting, like, the often, you know, hookup culture of gayness, and I like want to find love so desperately.
Yeah.
So we actually are like opposites on the spectrum in terms of like our stereotypes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm ready for love.
It seems like in the gay male community, it's kind of like these extremes where it feels like it's either entirely hookup culture or it's this settled down married couple with a adopted kid. And I don't know anybody who's in between.
Right.
Like, I don't know anybody who's had, like, several serious relationships. They're either married or they're on Grindr. Or right. Scruff.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Or Scruff. Yeah.
There's probably, like, nice. 9 more I don't even know about.
There definitely is. You know, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think there also is sort of actually a middle ground, a third in between that's like open relationship in between, which works for a lot of people, but then also doesn't work for a lot of people. But I guess that's just relationships. You know, a lot of them don't work or do work. It's just, you know, the ones that do work just never end, and most of them end. So, but like I think Amy and I have talked about this on our podcast, but like gay people tend to sort of like maybe be behind because like we don't get to explore our sexuality and like love interests in high school, or even for other people who come out later, like until much, much later. So it's like we're still like I still feel like I'm in like sometimes in high school or like having those like, you know, 1 month flings like you would have when you were younger because we're like catching up and learning like how to date each other still when we're in our 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm in that boat. I was really stunted sexually, like romantically, everything. So when I first came out, I just like, it was all flings. I was just excited, I think.
It is exciting though.
Deep down, I'm a gay male.
Welcome. I mean, that's, but I think love definitely exists. I think it just, also manifests differently through different people. And I don't know, men, I think in general, like just want to fuck a lot and different people and just like, ew, I hate to say this. I'm going to say it though. Like cut it out or bleep it, but like spread their seed. Like that's what men want to do, you know? And
definitely not bleeping that. Do you think, I mean, around this question of like, is love a thing? It's more like, do you think that there's a common and shared understanding of what love is? Or do you think it's like a different thing for different people? Like different people identify different things as love.
Damn. That's hard. Amy?
Well, I mean, like, I guess so. It's like all has to do with how we were brought up and what we saw as love. So like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
What shaped your ideas of love growing up?
Oh, you know, I don't know. It's like so deep and traumatic. So it's like, how much do I really want to share about that? Probably not that much, honestly. We're all just like trying to figure out. Because they say, like, you date your parents or you date, like, people that were closer to you to, like, try and relive these traumas and, like, bring them to some sort of resolve.
Right.
So, yeah, I would love to not do that in the future. yeah, so that I'm in a lot of therapy for that. Jack?
yeah, I mean, I love my parents. I feel like I like didn't know that they were struggling in like their relationship until I became an adult and sort of became friends with them. And then they like ended up being like, oh yeah, like we've done couples therapy many times. Like we have been through it. And I think that's an important thing to note is like there can be multiple types of love. Like I think what kept them together during the rough patches was like their love for their children and family and just like love of life, but their love of each other, like, you know, that goes through, it's like hills and valleys, I think. And I think we have to expect that of love. Like I think I always used to think that love was like this like stagnant, ever-present, like fluttering of butterflies and everything's perfect and it's like honeymoon phase forever. And in reality, it's like, no, love is just like a very emotional, deep commitment I don't know, like a sharing of oneself and appreciation of self and others, I think. To me, that's what love is.
You know, in our community, we say love is love is love is love. And I just never understood what that meant. What is love to me? Is that really? Yeah, that is a really tough question. Also, my girlfriend listens to this religiously.
Say something
this
nice.
Podcast. It's like, it's Allie. It's blonde hair. It's every time I've been in love or wasn't sure if I was in love, I would just try to imagine my life without the person, how I would deal with that. And if I was absolutely devastated, then that meant I actually did love the person. Mm-hmm. So that's what I always bring it back to. Like I've definitely hit patches with my girlfriend. We've been together for 4 years and we've come to like some close kind of breaking points. But when it comes to that, like imagining life without the other person, and if you're like ugly crying and sobbing at the thought, then I think you're in love with the person still. And that's my barometer for love as I know it so far.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Jack and Amy, have you both been in love? Like, you're sure you've been in love before?
Sure, yeah.
No.
No.
No. Yeah. No.
Are there times where you had thought that you were in love and then later you realized, oh, no, that's not what that was?
I mean, not even really. I mean, I think I've said, like, probably, like, I love you to people before. But, like, I don't know. Looking back, it didn't feel, like, that deep of a connection. I think a lot of it has to do with, like, a lot of my, like, relationships in the past were, like, secret because I wasn't out. And so, like, it was hard to give, like, my whole self and, like, share my love of someone with everyone in the world. And so I think that, like, inhibits the, I don't know, growth of love in a way. I mean, I don't want to say that because I'm sure people are closeted in relationships and that's, like, totally valid. But, like, for me, I wanted to celebrate someone and be celebrated. And I feel like I haven't had that chance yet. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I've been in love yet.
I'm going to say, like, telling someone, like, I love you and being in love with someone is, like, so different. So maybe you did, like, love that person, but you just went, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I kind of, like, trust my instincts, you know, where I was, like, or I looking back where I'm, like, oh, you know, maybe it was a situational reason where I liked that, or, like, because I was insecure, or, like, I needed cuddles for, like, this year of my life, or, you know, I blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't, like, for the intention of, like, finding love or, like, exploring this person, you know what I mean?
Kind of.
I like that topic of, like, love versus being in love. I think that that's something that maybe it's not unique to queer relationships, but I used to think that sometimes it was because you can love some, especially, I guess, for two women. I feel like our relationships, no matter, like, if we're dating someone or not, we become so emotionally bonded because we tend to be a little bit more emotionally open and vulnerable, that the kind of love you feel for someone else can be confusing in that way versus realizing, like, am I in love or do I just care a lot about this person and I'm fond of them? And, like, what's the difference? How do you tell?
Well, I don't know. damn, now I'm like, have I been in love? I like, don't, isn't it just one of those things, like, when you feel it, then it's true? Like, is there like a test, like how to tell if you're in love, BuzzFeed quiz, you know?
I almost think it's like, if you say it and it feels true, and not by saying it like, I love you. Like, I think you can tell someone I love you and not be in love with them. Sure. I know I definitely did that in my first relationships, you know, just felt like, well, we've been pretty intimate at this point, so I guess I love you. And like, this feels nice to say, and this is what like the movies and TV shows and everything we've been taught of, like, this is the order of things. But then being in love, like, I don't know. I remember once I was seeing someone and they said something about being in love with me. And that was when I realized that I wasn't in love with them, because that term to me, I was like, well, that's a little much for right now.
So what did, like, you say back?
Well, the way they said it is something, they didn't say like, I'm in love with you. The turn of phrase didn't require that I say it, have to say it back, you know? And I could still say I love you and mean it at that time. But it just, you know, we just hadn't been together for that long. But I remember with my first wife, we had been friends and pretty good friends for 2 years before we started dating. And when we started dating, it was kind of hard for me to tell, do I love this person or am I in love? It kind of took me a little bit to get there, and I had to keep checking in with myself. And then I'm like, okay, yes, I do think I'm in love.
Interesting. Yeah. When you have to say like, I do think, then I don't think I've had that where I'm like, am I? I feel like I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Remember that line? Do you remember the movie It Takes Two, Mary-Kate and Ashley movie?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Kirstie Alley's in it. There's just one line from it where she's like, it's got to be that can't eat, can't sleep, reach for the stars, over the fence, World Series kind of love. I remember seeing that movie and that line just like echoed like when I was like 8 years old. And it just, I always think of that one line from that movie. Like, this has got to be epic.
See, that's the thing I think like ruins people though, because
I was about to say that.
Yeah. No, go for it.
Movies have a lot to do with it. Yeah.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, I think that like spark is important in the beginning. And like that feeling of like, I really am interested in this person and like want to see them is really important. But like, I think over time that's going to fade somewhat, and your connection is going to grow into other things, like love of each other's, I don't know, thoughts, or like, you know, just understanding someone more. And like, but I think the like butterflies you might get might dwindle. And so like, you have to know that you love someone in another way, or you have to have like another, I don't know, like checklist of like what love means, because that feeling of intensity, I think, could fade over time.
You know, when I described trying to realize like whether or not I was actually in love with my first wife when we got together, it was confusing for me because that was my first relationship that felt like stable and not dramatic, like that it wasn't this extreme thing on one end. It wasn't this like crazy, like, oh my God, this is my soulmate, this is the one. And then that also tricked me, because I'm like, well, maybe this is what love is, because this feels like very sustainable. This seems like something that will just be like smooth sailing for the rest of my life. And that if it's intense, then it can go intense both ways, and that's trouble. So I was wrong that time too.
So then what is your relationship like now?
It feels like there's this intensity to our feelings for each other, definitely. It's not like this constant intensity, but there are a lot of days where I'm just like, oh my God, I just want to like scream I love her so much. And And it's the same way back, but it's all grounded in like this feeling that it's so hard to describe. I wish I was a poet or something. This might be more eloquent, but it's also like there when we're quiet. Like one of the things I noticed with her, you know, we're both creative people and we used to a lot just hang out, and I would be writing and she would be making art, and we'd be in the same room and we might not even say anything for like 2 hours to each other while we're working on our own stuff. And I'll just have this feeling of like such like happiness and love and just feel so content being sharing that space with her. I'm just like madly in love with her, and but in a way that doesn't feel as like dramatic and performative as my early relationships. And part of that was because I was very reluctant to love her and to let myself love her because I was coming out of a divorce. So I'm like, no, this isn't happening, you know? And it did.
I mean, yeah, that's what like I like want or look for is like comfort and like sustainability and like an opportunity for growth in a relationship where like sometimes I feel like when it's so hot and heavy and like those hugely intense relationships, it's like, how do you also like go up from there when it's like already so amazing, but then it like gets really bad? Like you can't get more amazing than the super amazing, and you can't get like if it's becomes more middle ground, it already feels like less intense. So I feel like it almost like is better to go in with like a, I don't know, just like zen mindset.
This is so hard to talk about, and I didn't realize how hard love would be to talk about.
Totally.
And that's why there are poets, and I'm realizing.
I know. Well, we know nothing. That's Amy and I, like on nothing. Our podcast, that's our whole thing, is like we literally are the worst people at giving advice. We know nothing. But I think that also is indicative of like how love in itself is like beyond human comprehension, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's no one like straightforward way of articulating it. And I think it takes trial and error, you know. So my first relationship, like my first like very serious one, it just felt super dramatic. When I finally got out of that, then I went the total opposite way and was like, we've been lied to, movies and TV shows and everybody, it's all a big lie, and you just need to find somebody that you enjoy being around and can, you know, communicate with, and you want those same things, and like that's a good kind of love. But then when I started dating my wife, I felt like I was in a rom-com. Like for the first time in my life, I felt like I was just in like this dickless rom-com, going around like New York City, having these experiences. I was on cloud nine, you know. I was also like terrified. And then it was that feeling of like, oh my gosh, maybe like this is it. Like now I found it, you know. It's such trial and error.
Yes. I think you definitely need the error.
Yeah.
To fall in love and know what you don't want or what doesn't work, to really appreciate what does work as it's happening, as you're falling.
But then there are people who fall in love. Like, do you have any friends who are high school sweethearts who have gotten married and that's the only person they've been with? And
nope.
Does that happen anymore?
I have one.
Wait. Amy, what about all your friends in Australia? Aren't they like all
Yeah, there's like a bunch of like straight girls in Australia that do that. but I think that they at least had like previous boyfriends, maybe not one, but she's very religious, so.
Yeah. I've got one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't always have to be like that, actually. There's so many different forms of love and marriage. I don't know. I watched Indian Matchmaking, so now my idea of love has, like, had a wrench thrown in it. I'm like, or you could just, you know, have a lot of compatibilities on paper and have a best friendship grow into that love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was in a class that talked about arranged marriage. I'm still in college, but they were talking about how, yeah, like the notion of like having a partner that your family picks for you, because your family, you know, most families like know their child very well. In those communities, like they have like better rates of success with arranged marriages than we do here, because we don't pick for good partners for ourselves. We pick like partners that are, you know, incredibly like the high and lows, the passionate, the crazy ones, but like in the end, that's maybe not what serves us, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like we destroy ourselves.
Yeah. And meeting the parents is a huge hurdle and a stressor, like that happens after you've already had the highs and lows and like kind of committed to someone. So for that to be eliminated, I feel like that takes a lot of pressure off your relationship from the beginning. Like my girlfriend met my family, and at first my mom didn't like her, and I was like, well, just wasted all this time.
No.
My mom now has grown to really love her, but at first, like, I really was like, should I just end this? Like,
why didn't your mom like her? Yeah.
Well, because I, like Carolyn, got out of a messy relationship, and I was very vocal about the fact that I would not be with someone for years, and I would never, you know, settle down with someone right away based off those initial feelings. And then what happened? I like immediately fell for my girlfriend. So I think I told my mom too much in that like raw emotion after my breakup about how I really needed to be alone for 5 years or something. And my mom's Iranian and not used to just Americans in general, but like my girlfriend's the most American, like Southern, loud, like came in hot, like doesn't know how to pronounce her Iranian name. So I was like, I'm just going to call her mom. And like just really came in real strong.
You would stop dating someone because your parents didn't approve?
Yeah, if I just had to just keep looking to the future to know that there was going to be that friction potentially, and
sure.
I don't know, that would scare me out of a relationship at least. I also have a desperate need of approval from everyone about everything I do in life, so maybe that's part of it too.
I could tell that my mom didn't think much of my ex-wife. Like, she never said it because she didn't want to be not supportive, but there was just like no real fondness or attachment there. And then that difference compared to like how my parents view Cecilia, like I think they definitely like her better than they like me, and that was like clear immediately. So yeah, like sometimes parents, I think they kind of know.
They know everything about me. Like, I'm sure that they would pick the perfect person for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, let them.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
That'd be a fun project.
Yeah.
They don't know any gays. They don't know.
They need to go to PFLAG meetings and then meet other parents.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Well, that would be fun.
We need more gay arranged marriages.
Yes, gay arranged marriages. Let's start a service. Well,
dudes, I was saying, like, with COVID, now that we, like, can't really date safely, like, around, you know, you can't, like, go on multiple dates with multiple people all the time. Like, I feel like it's going to happen much more of, like, referring a friend to another friend. You know, like, oh, I know someone, and, like, you guys might match. Like, I feel like that might make a comeback.
I think so.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
No. No.
That was a
stupid
quick no for me.
Yeah, that's so stupid. Sorry, no offense if anyone does.
I think not love at first sight, but like that intensity at first sight can be very real, but not like.
Yeah, want a bone at first sight. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like maybe like love at first date, like post first date, you know, like post first date when you're analyzing how the date went, but like not like, you know, like,
You're
like, I'm going to need you to talk and make sure you're not saying something stupid.
Yeah, exactly. You can get
Do you guys
lot
believe
trouble.
In love at first sight?
No.
I wonder if we don't. I wonder if we're just more jaded in general as queer people, and if we maybe had more Disney movies you know, that we're gay, or maybe we would believe in a lot more of this whirlwind love fantasy stuff. If we were sold that from an earlier age, I don't know.
I feel like lesbians would get it most of all. Like, I feel like you guys fall in so fast already. In general, this is a generalization.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like that maybe you'd be more likely to believe in it.
I think I believe more in maybe infatuation at first sight, or at least that's been my experience, where there have been women who I've like clocked as queer and then quickly was like, oh, I want to get to know them more. How do I get to see them? How can I like maybe have a chance with them? And we'll like look at all their social media and all that kind of stuff. But those things, in my experience, have never led to a relationship.
That's so real. Yeah, I would get the infatuation at first sight, especially when I was younger and it was like this one girl in my class in high school might also be queer. And then I think I thought I was in love with this person, but I was really just completely obsessed.
Totally.
Yeah. What's one or some of the biggest determinants or factors of whether or not you fall for somebody?
Oh. I literally don't know. Like, it's been so long since I've had any sort of relationship. It's been like well over a year at least. So I don't even know anymore. And I feel like that's also changing as I'm getting older as well.
Yeah.
I used to think like it's someone that I really get along with and want to spend a lot of time with, but there's so much more to that.
I guess on the flip side, is it easier to answer? How do you know it's definitely someone that you couldn't love? Name names. God. No, just kidding.
I think, not like if you don't know that they like you, like you should know if someone likes you, and you should know if you like someone, and you should be able to distinguish that easily. Like if you have to question like, oh, do they like me, or like something like that, like that is a big red flag to me.
Yeah, true.
So always stay away from that. Like, they will let their feelings be known if they want to. And we should accept that. And
we get questions from our listeners sometimes. And I hate to, I'm like, I don't want to break your little heart, but they're not into you. Like, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also so much easier to see from the outside perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Versus like being in it. It's like, well, they said this, but then they also said this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think also, like, to get back to the question of like, how do you know you like someone, is like, that should be the question you ask yourself after dates. Not like, does this person like me? But like, do I like this person? Because I am very bad about that. And my first instinct is like, what do they think about me? Like, I can't really read them, blah, blah, blah. And what we should all be thinking is like, wow, what did I think of them? And that's just like never occurred to me until my mom told me that like 6 months ago, where she was like, you definitely don't look at that. And I'm like, okay, mom, geez, like, lower your voice.
Yeah, I think that also comes into play depending on the mentality you're going in with, too. It's almost like a job. Like, if you're really desperate for a job, you show up at every interview and you're like, oh, I hope they like me, and I'm going to try to be the person that they want me to be, and all you're looking for is their approval, because you'll take anything. As to if, like, you already have a job and you're happy with it, and then someone calls you in for an opportunity and you're like, well, I don't know if I want it. I don't need it. Is it right for me? And then you kind of turn it around. Yeah. So I think, like, the people who are lonely and that's what's like driving them to date can fall into that trap of just trying to please the other person instead of really evaluating, like, is this what
I need
right now?
Self-love should be your job, first and foremost. It should be your job to love yourself.
Yeah. Do you both love yourselves?
Do you love yourself?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I hope so.
Yes.
I mean, Amy, I watched some of your videos and stuff, so I know, like, part of your thing is, like, why are you single? But how do you navigate that now that you have, like, this public persona kind of around that? Do you find, like, that makes things harder? Does it make you overthink things, or...?
Honestly, like, when I got out of my first breakup and I kind of made my whole brand, like, this is why I'm single, and I was just, like, being awkward and doing whatever. And then that did totally bite me in the ass when I got into another relationship, and I was like, well, I can't keep saying that because that's just, like, a lie now. But now I kind of just, like, poke fun at it. I just made a video with my couple friends, and they're evaluating, like, why I'm still single, whatever. And I think people took it very seriously and literally. When that whole video was, like, super sarcastic, I just asked my friends to be, like, as mean and ruthless as they possibly could. because, like, I know why I'm single. Like, I don't want to date. So I think people were like, "Aw, she's so single. Like, it's okay, girl. You're going to find someone." And I'm like, I hope not. And I mean that. I guess I'm just coming from a place where I have not been in a relationship and been thriving at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm very much like, well, let me take a break. Let's, like, put that on the back burner and just really do my own thing. And then in the future, when I get to it or when I feel like it, then I'll start doing something different. But yeah, I always think it's funny when people are like, "Aw, you'll find someone, don't worry." And I'm like, I am actually not worried.
Yeah.
Like, it's not what I want. Maybe I'm just lucky that a pandemic hit, so it really, like, kind of any semblance
right.
Maybe I should go out and date, that's, like, taken away anyway. So, like, kind of whacked.
Jack, with the queer male community, like you mentioned, being more stereotypically, like, hookup culture, how do guys react to you when you talk about what you want and what you're looking for?
You know, I think it's interesting because I think a lot of gay men, queer men, like, in theory want what I want, you know? Or, like, when I say it, they're like, "Oh, yeah, totally." Like,
yeah,
like, we'll see what happens, of course. And because, like, I'm not going in being like, "I want marriage with you." But, you know, I'm like, "Oh," like, "I would be interested in, like, maybe something more long term," or et cetera, et cetera. And everyone's always like, "Yeah, totally." But then I think it's just, like, a matter of, like, wanting in theory versus practice. And but there are definitely, like, I don't want to paint this picture of, like, all gay men are anti-relationship and, like,
oh, sure,
want the end of, you know, monogamy and are going to destroy the sanctity of marriage.
I've already ruined that.
Yeah.
That was, like, the first thing I did when they let us get married. I'm like, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to ruin it.
Yeah. It's over for you straights. But yeah, I think there are definitely some people who, like, also want what I want, which is just, like, a deep connection. And it's just about picking or, like, finding that person or those people and, like, you know, making it clear that, like, you have this connection and that you like them. And I don't know. I feel like I'm sort of in the middle of that right now. But he is on the opposite coast from me right now. So it's like kind of lesbian of me. But yeah, I think it definitely is possible. And you just have to, like, really make your intentions clear and communicate about how you feel about someone. And if they don't feel the same way, move on.
Yeah.
It's kind of simple, but in practice, it's like so aggravating when it like doesn't work out like that.
Right. Is anyone here scared of love?
Yes.
What scares you about it?
Painful. It's so painful. Admit it. It's painful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't like to be in pain like that.
Oh, that's sad. But I might push back on that and say, like, isn't life painful already? So, like, wouldn't you want to go through that pain with someone and, like, you know, help someone else through that pain when they go
Jack,
through
that's
pain?
That's why I have you.
Okay, but you don't want to, like, do it and then get a smooch at the end? Like,
well, come here, pucker up.
His roommate has COVID. Don't do it, Amy.
You're right.
Do you find platonic love as satisfying as romantic love, or are they just so different you can't compare them?
So different. How could you compare?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think they're just completely two different types of love. I think, isn't there a thing of like, there's like Eros love and there's like blah, blah, blah. There's like all these different types of love with like Latin names, which I don't really remember at all. But I think it's like a, even in psychology, that that's like a thing where there's the different types of love. And it's just, yeah, it's completely different. I don't think you can be fulfilled in the same way. Like you need both. Well, not necessarily as, you know, Amy doesn't need both. She needs just friend. But you know, it might be beneficial to have both.
Is that shade?
I mean, we've talked about it.
We have.
Yeah, I had to look it up because I was very curious. It was the ancient Greeks have six words for love. I didn't know. Eros love is the sexual passion.
Right, right.
Kind of love.
That's the only one he knew, so.
Are there couples in your life who you see and you're like, that's the kind of love that I want?
Wow. Wow. Damn.
Well, no.
You're really asking the tough questions today.
Seriously. No, I don't think so. But love to every person, you can't really compare at all.
It's hard to know from the outside, too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually the old couple on the park bench. Like,
yes. Totally.
The one example for me that comes to mind was I worked with this guy once and he was older and he was like semi-retired and he just loved his wife so much. And every time we talked, he would just talk about his wife in the sweetest way. And they had been married for 60 years, maybe.
Yeah, wow. That's cute to me.
You want that love that like you see, but then also I think there's like this Fiona Apple lyric that is like, it would like, nobody can replace anybody and it would be a shame to make a comparison. Like, so it's like their love that they have, I'm sure would like never work for like me or you guys, you know? And it's like, they've created probably like this language that they understand that where there is harmony. And it's like, that's what I want, not like their love, but like I want to be able to have that like commitment and understanding and like language with someone, you know?
Amy, so at the beginning of this conversation, you talked about you can't imagine being in love with somebody for like 50 years or for the long term. Have I changed your mind? No.
Yes.
Now, is that like out of a fear of sorts, or
it's got to be, surely.
Yeah.
It has to be. I don't know. I just don't
like a fear of missing out on something else if you were to commit to one person, or just knowing, as you mentioned, like the pain and the suffering, and be like, hey, if you are just like dipping in and out, the pain can never be that bad.
I feel like I think the commitment of it all is pretty scary. I'm like a pretty like flip-floppy ass person. So I feel like knowing that I like have to commit to this thing forever seems just like so unlikely to me.
Yeah.
Like to be, because I want to first and foremost be happy. So I don't think like having those like tough years and we got through it together, like that's not a huge priority for me. I feel like if I'm having tough years with someone, then it might just be like our time to not be together anymore. But also like I'm 26, almost 27. So I just can't imagine the person that I am now and the person that I'm going to be when I'm 80 to be anything like each other. Like I look at when I was 21, and if I stayed with the person when I was 21 to now, I just can't imagine the miserable bitch that I would be right now. So yeah. It just seems unfathomable to be like, even for the next 27 years, to stick with one person. That seems like a nightmare to me.
Love and happiness aren't the same thing at all. And I think that that's also a reason why people stay in bad relationships. And yeah, that's a really interesting thing you brought up of like, you know, is love about commitment and getting through the tough times, or is love about recognizing when to let go and, totally. You know, loving someone being like, hey, I love you enough to know that I'm like that us together doesn't equal happy. Yeah. So let's separate.
I think like if I am going to settle down, I'll do it when I'm 60. That seems normal to me.
Yeah.
In my head.
I think the problem right there is the term settle down. I think if we all called it settling up, then people would be much more into it.
Yeah. Rebrand it.
Damn. That's the lesbian agenda.
Yeah.
I feel like making a lifetime commitment with someone when I'm 60 just seems so much more like it's possible for me.
Yeah, I mean, I also used to work with a guy and he was like just very stereotypical dude, like just kind of simple guy, liked his football, liked his beer, whatever. But then with me, he seemed to get like very vulnerable. And it was like a side that he didn't let to other people, and would always talk about like his marriage and stuff. And he'd be like, you know, I just think that when this concept of marriage was a thing, people were dying when they were 30. And and then we've like brought it and medicine has advanced. And I don't think that anybody ever anticipated that you would be spending, you know, 60 That's years
totally
with somebody. Yeah. So like biologically, we're not equipped to maintain relationships for that long. Mm-hmm. He was also fascinated by gay men because he's like, I mean, I'm not, but it just seems like really nice to have people who are like always down to do it. And I'm like, okay, that's an interesting perspective, Jim. That's what he thought being gay was. It's just like, oh, like it's guys that are all just DTF all the time. Why aren't women more like that? Yeah.
He just has the physical touch love language.
Yes, I guess so. Oh, yeah, love languages.
Love languages, which is mine, by the way. There are five love languages?
Yeah. Five love languages. Or, okay. Yeah.
So what are the, there's words of affirmation.
Receiving gifts, physical touch, acts of service.
Quality time.
Quality time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Danny,
these all seem pretty good to me.
One of each.
I'll take them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely quality time for sure. I think my ranking was quality time, physical touch. Acts words of affirmation. Acts of service, gifts.
That sounds good to me too, honestly. I'll take one of those.
It always confuses me because I, like, when people are like, oh, what's your love language? I'm like, well, is it how I receive or how I give? And apparently they're supposed to be similar, but for me, it's like very different. Like, I express love with words of affirmation, but for me, acts of service is how I feel love.
Mm. What does that mean to you? Like, what is an act of service that you love to get?
Just oral sex, basically. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Wait, no, that's physical touch.
So we're all on the same page.
No, it'll be like...
All right, that's my love language then, too.
You know, like, my wife, like, when she helped me update my portfolio online on my website... And to me, I had never felt so loved than when she was like, hey, let me help you out with this. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is it. You know, I don't know. I just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carolyn's also a Capricorn. So thank you. My portfolio. Like, that's a very Capricorn thing to get excited about.
Right.
I don't know anything about Capricorn, so.
Well, you're dealing with two of them right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I've never been around one, let alone two.
Yeah. We love our portfolios.
That's all.
And,
that's
our, we love our tangibles. Yeah. Portfolios and oral sex. Last thoughts on love.
Sounds good, but not for me.
Yeah, like, sounds good is for me, and we'll see.
Where can our listeners find you and follow you on social media and listen to your podcast? I mean, the same way they listen to Dyking Out, listen to Dating Straight, but where can they find you on social media?
Everything's just at Dating Straight. Go listen. It's cool.
Yes, it is cool. We have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So,
Who are some of your favorite guests that you've had on?
Oh, my goodness.
Or, like, if people should start with one episode, like, which one do you recommend? Like, start here. This was a good one.
Wow.
I'm pulling up out.
Well, yeah, it depends, like, what your energy is, because there's, like, some really hectic ones, and there's some really, like, sweet ones, too. So if you're in the mood for, like, I don't know, health, you know, if you want us to build you up, if you're at your worst, then anyone with, like, Shan Booty is good. And then if you want some chaos in your life, go ahead and listen to like the one with like Drew and Enya, or and I mean the ones with Cami Scott and Rebecca Black are always amazing. Yeah.
Yes, love it.
Dykes want that. Rosie for the Dykes. We have one with them.
Oh, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. That is a big get. Congratulations.
And for those who discovered their gayness by watching Glee, Santana, and Brittany, we've had on Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz, which was a
They should
riot.
Actually start there. That's a really, really good episode.
Wow. Yeah. Fun. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for Dyking Out. Well,
thanks, guys.
Thanks,
sorry if
guys.
I broke your brains with all my questions.
I know.
Do you think maybe I inadvertently put a curse on Amy and now love is just going to come after her?
I think so.
Yeah. She'll be like, I've been avoiding this. And now all of a sudden, after that, Dyke kept hammering me with questions about love.
You put a big lesbian curse on her.
It's my favorite thing to do. I can't help it.
Tis the season.
Right. Yes, everybody, if you're not putting lesbian curses on people, what are you doing in October?
Are you even celebrating you Halloween?
Yes. man. What do you say we get to our listener question?
All right. Let's get into it. This week's listener question. I'm 22 and have recently realized that I am gay/queer through dating my first girlfriend. There is a common notion perpetuated by queer media/content that once you finally kiss a girl, everything will click into place and kissing/sex will just come naturally. That wasn't the case for me. My girlfriend and I were each other's firsts for just about everything, so it all took some time to get used to. But it felt like there was something wrong with me for not having things all magically work perfectly now that I was with a girl. I've still not figured out what I like and haven't been able to orgasm, whereas it's much easier for her and literally takes minutes. I get very in my head about it and feel like I'm broken somehow, even though she's very supportive. I just expected it to be easier and to just automatically feel good, especially with someone I feel so comfortable with. How long did it take you guys to figure out what you liked, and is it normal to need time to figure it out? Yes.
Yeah. A couple of years and yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of factors at play, but definitely I know that I didn't orgasm until my third partner, and even then I think we were at least 6 or 8 months into dating before that happened.
Yeah, it takes a while. I myself could not orgasm with a partner until my mid-20s, and it always takes, I think, a while with someone new to figure out how you work together.
I like how you clarified with a partner, because...
because I be doing it alone.
Whereas I wasn't. So I'd never orgasmed before, so I didn't really know what to expect. And I think a lot of times when you haven't had an orgasm, you'll have feelings and you're like, maybe that's it. And it's not it. If you have to be like, maybe, I don't know, I think, could that be it? Then right. You haven't had one. Like when you have one, you'll know that you've had one. It takes a while. And because I had never made myself orgasm, because I think Catholicism scared me out of masturbating.
Definitely.
It kind of took a while to figure out, you know. For me at least, like mentally, my head has to be in the right space, and between like that and making sure that you're being touched in the way that works for you, that can be a little bit complicated. It's not always as straightforward. It's very normal. It's very natural to take some time with somebody. The kissing. So in your question, you said once you finally kiss a girl, everything will click into place and kissing/sex will just come naturally. I think the kissing usually kind of comes naturally.
Yeah.
Though maybe not, because I remember because I was queer and my first girlfriend, I knew a bunch of people who had also made out with her, because then we were making out with each other and it was just a big L-word chart, mm-hmm. of makeouts and whatnot, and we all had a very different opinions on how she kissed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it was like, oh, maybe it got better with time, you know? Like the one who first kissed her was like, oh, she's an awful kisser, and I'm like, oh, I don't think she's that bad. And then I met a girlfriend of hers a couple of years later, and she was like, isn't she the best kisser? And I'm like, well, good for her, you know?
Interesting. Yeah, it could be time or it could be the connection. I know some people just aren't Frenchers, too. Like, that's, and that's also fine. Like, yeah. It's not for everyone, right?
Yeah. It's hard to know what the issue is here. It could just be that because you're new to this kind of stuff, that you're still figuring out what you like, what you want. It could be that maybe you two aren't necessarily sexually compatible, or at least for right now. And that's okay too. But the one thing that you can do to try to make the situation better is to communicate.
Yes.
And don't be afraid to communicate and be honest about what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And don't be afraid to guide her and don't be afraid to hurt her feelings, because I'm sure she wants to know how to bring you pleasure. I'm sure that that would make her very, very happy. And if you could give her the cheat codes, that would be a lot better than her just trying to hit a bunch of buttons on the controller and seeing which one
also
unlocks.
Ask her what she wants too.
Yeah.
Yeah, communication is key. I don't think I was having good sex until I was able to articulate what I wanted. That
so true.
The game, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember my first two girlfriends, like, I was horrified about talking about it. I was so nervous about actually doing it that to talk about it seemed even crazier. So, you know, it would be, I never talked about like what I wanted. And that definitely had an impact. And it wasn't until I was with somebody for, you know, over 6 months that I could communicate and be like, no, keep doing this right here.
Yeah.
And then that's what did it. Yeah.
It's math. And you have to give her the equation.
I don't know. So don't worry, there's nothing wrong with you. Enjoy.
Wait, let's keep that in. Sorry, let's keep that in. Carolyn still has a lot of residual Catholicism in his maybe still trying to figure out how to talk about it.
Listen, I'm just glad that this listener is 22 and not any younger.
Yeah,
writing
guys,
this in.
We love to give advice, but if you're 16 and writing in with sex questions, we feel a little dirty. So
yeah, please
talk to your friends for now. And then once you hit a certain, you know, appropriate age to talk to women in their 30s about it, write us in.
Yeah. You can send in your questions to dykingout@gmail.com, or if you have a more private question or a more detailed personal question, you can go to wisio.com. That's wisio.com/dykingout, and we will, for a little bit of money, send you recorded answers on video that are personalized to you. And if you are a patron, your questions go to the top of the list, so you can send us those questions through Patreon. You can follow us on social media at Dyking Out everywhere except for TikTok, where we are at Dyking Out Pod. And there's nothing there now, but there's going to be something there soon because we are so close to 10,000 followers on Instagram. And that's the weird pact we made with the devil, that if we get 10,000 followers, we will do a TikTok dance. Yeah. Somebody suggested we do the Phoebe Bridgers dance. I looked at it. I think I could handle that.
I don't know what a Phoebe Bridgers dance would look like.
You know, it's a little bit faster moving than I thought.
Is it to motion sickness?
It is.
Okay. What does that look like? I'm going to look that up immediately. Yeah, start sending in your dance suggestions. We are getting close to that sweet, sweet 10K.
You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
And you can follow me at Melody Kamali.
And thank you so much for diking out with us this week. We hope you dike out with us again next week.
And
for now,
be kind to one another.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.